produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Amen, amen, amen. I want to read a few scriptures to you as I begin on this series today entitled Incredible Favor. As we begin on this series entitled Incredible Favor. And I want to read a few verses in John chapter 9. I'll start there. I don't believe I'll get to the heart of the message until next week or perhaps the week after, but I do want to start there. John chapter 9, and I'm grateful for our musicians, our praise team for blessing us. Thank you, Evangelist Brown. Amen to hospitality. Thank you and our media ministry. We thank God for our greeters and to each and every one of your brothers and sisters in Christ, the whole staff of the church. Thank you all so much for being such a phenomenal church. As we begin in John chapter 9, and I want to begin here today, John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, that's where I'll begin. And I probably won't, as I said, I won't get to actually preach the text like I wanted to. But let me just kind of hit it where I need to. John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were your eyes open? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." Look at somebody and just tell them, incredible favor. Incredible favor. Amen. Incredible favor. That's what we're talking about today. Incredible favor. Let me start off by saying to you that you must understand a few things. That Satan tries to use contrary circumstances to get us off track. Isn't that how life is? You're going about your way and things are going well, and all of a sudden you receive a text message and all of a sudden your day has been turned upside down. Life has a way of just ransacking us. But I want you to know that regardless of what the enemy may have plans for you for, God has another plan. Look at somebody, tell them God has another plan. Just type that in. Those that are on Facebook, just type it in and just say God has another plan. You see, Jesus passed by and saw the man. Verse 1, he sees the man which was blind from his birth. Now, society chooses not to see the man. They have literally become anesthetized to his grief and lack, and no one cares. Many of us can identify with that because we have an image in our head of someone that we've become used to. We are anesthetized. Our pain and our grief literally is now painless towards what they are dealing with. And to be truthful about it, we've gotten to the place that we really don't care about the situation they are in, because that situation has been such a long time that now we've become familiar with their pain. But today, need you to understand, the Bible says in verse 1, Jesus saw the man. I need you to get that, because in verse 1, before I try and take off or before we get too excited in here, we need to know that as Jesus is passing by, he sees the man. Now, let me give you the historical setting of this, because in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus has made a declaration and stated, before Abraham was, I am. And in verse 59, they run Jesus out of town by trying to stone him. The Bible says that as Jesus gets away, in chapter 9, verse 1, the first thing he encounters as he's leaving one crowd, he encounters another man that has an issue. Let me see if I can make that plain, that sometimes God will drive you out of one place in order for you to go to where your destiny is about to blossom. I wish I had somebody in here that knew that maybe the reason why God is driving you out of one place is because he has something greater for you in another place. Bible says he passed by and he saw a man. Let me be clear. He didn't just see any man. The Bible says he sees a man that's blind from his birth. Many of us need to know it's easy for us to think in the situation that you're in that God has forgotten you. You think because you stay up at night with these tormenting dreams and thoughts that God has forgotten you, but God has not forgotten you. God is still got his hands on you. He's still using you. You can never forget about the fact that God still loves you. People have become anesthetized to his grief and pain and lack, but notice God has not forgotten him. You see, if we open our eyes to the blessings around us, we'll see God's fingerprints every day. The problem with many of us is we close our eyes to the blessings God has given to us. You've got to look at somebody and shout, you got to open your eyes. You see, God saw you in your past. He sees you in your right now. And he sees where he's taken you. The Bible says he's blind from his birth. And the Bible says in verse 2, his disciples asked him, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And notice what the answer is, because the disciples are just like anybody else. They want to know, if you told us before Abraham was, I am, then you ought to know the answer to this very question. And what is the answer to the question that we're asking? And Jesus gives a clear answer.
Bible says in verse 3, he answers and says, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Okay, I used to read the Bible and didn't understand what God was saying too, but notice what he says. He literally, Jesus says, it wasn't this man's sin that caused him to be in the situation. Neither was it his parents' sin that caused him to be in this situation. But this situation was done so that God could work. I wish I had somebody in here that knew that maybe your situation is happening because God wants to work. Look at somebody, tell them God wants to work on you. Is there anybody here that knows God wants to work on me? And since God wants to work on me, I'm going to talk to God until God works on me. Work on me, Jesus. I need him to work on me until my eyes see right. I need God to work on me until my legs walk right. I need God to work on me until my heart beats right. I need God to work on me until my mind thinks right. Is there anybody here that knows I need God to work on me? Now notice what Jesus says. He says, neither had this man sinned, neither was it his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Hadn't gotten to my script yet, so let me just stay outside of it just for a minute, because in verse 3, he says, I need you to know that God is about to work. The works of God is about to be made known in your life. And that's a word for somebody right there, that maybe you need to know that God is working on you so that God can be known through your life. Is there anybody here that can thank God? I need God to work on me so that God can be known in my life. If anybody gonna be a testimony, I'll be the billboard that God can plaster around the city and let people know that had not God brought me through it, I wouldn't know that I could have handled it. Is there anybody here that can thank God for God working on you? So notice he says in verse 4, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. Notice what Jesus says. I must work the works of him that sent me. You see, it's easy for us to think God has forgotten us or simply don't see us. But when you open your eyes, you get to see the fingerprints of God in his blessings around us every day. And God knows our past. He knows our right now. He knows where he's taking us. And here's a word for somebody. Don't you ever allow shame to disgrace you to the fact that what you're dealing with becomes your identity. Do I have any witnesses here? Because you are not what you're dealing with. Is there anybody here that knows that I may have some embarrassing things that are going on in my life? I may have some stuff that I don't like going on in my life, but I am not going to allow it to make me not do what God has assigned for me to do. Matter of fact, I'm going to sing louder than I ever sang before. I'm going to pray more than I ever prayed before. I'm going to serve God harder than I ever served before, because shame is not going to disown me, because I understand about God's grace. You know what shame is? Shame is disgrace. Now, whenever you put dis in a word, D-I-S, what you actually have done is you've taken away what the word actually means. In other words, if you have an appointment and you place this in front of it, you've taken away the appointment that you had. So now it becomes an unappointment. Okay, y'all missed it, didn't you? So when you've got grace, and you place this in front of it, what you actually do is you take grace out of the situation. You need to let the devil know, no, I got grace. You need to let everybody around you know, I've got grace, and I thank God for his grace. Is there anybody here that knows it's because of his grace? I ain't in this situation because I was too mean. I ain't in this situation because you think I was low down. I ain't in this situation because you thought I'd done something. I'm in this situation because God is about to work on me. Is there anybody here that knows he's working on me? And since you think it's disgrace, I'm going to be the billboard for what grace looks like. Is there anybody here that knows I got grace? I got God's grace. See, God has given us grace through Jesus Christ. Grace is shame removed. Man, I'm about to run out of here. You got to understand that grace is shame removed. In 2023, I'm not going to be shameful of what you think of me. People love to talk about what you did. They love to bring up your past. Listen, I've been in this thing too long to allow people to talk about what I did 20 years ago. I wish I had a witness here. You got to understand, you've been going through, you've been doing too much for the Lord for somebody to constantly bring up your past, because you do understand that God has given me grace for my past. And since he's given me grace for my past, do you understand that God is working on me? Look at somebody, tell him he's working on me. And if you let him work on you, is there anybody here that knows you can experience grace as well? I'm not going to walk in a room and look down any longer. I'm not going to sit there and pretend as though I don't know the answer any longer, because I got his grace on me. And since God has given me grace, I'm getting ready to allow some people's eyes to be open to the power of God. So shame is disgrace. God has given us grace through Jesus Christ. Grace is shame removed. Okay, let me tell you this next part, and then I gotta close it up. God does what he wants because he wants to. Many of us, we love to say, why did God allow this to happen? He does it because he wants to. That's the most spiritual answer I can give you. Somebody's sitting there and you're wondering, why did this happen in your life? And I'm not going to bring up any examples, because you know what you're wondering. Why did God allow so-and-so to do this? Why did this happen? Why are these kids doing this, that, and the third? And it's because God wants to. Maybe it's because God is trying to get the church back to being the church where the church is praying instead of playing. Do I have any witnesses here? Because we come to church and we sit here and play, but you got to learn, when you come into the house of God, that you ain't coming to play. I ain't coming to see what somebody got on. I ain't coming to see how many folk here. I came to pray, and I got to get God's attention in this place. Is there anybody here that knows that when I come in God's house, I ain't come to play with you? Hey, how you doing? But I came to let my mascara run. I came to let my ugly cry out, because God is getting ready to work on me. God does what he wants to because he wants to. I don't understand, don't know the answer to the question, what you're asking. Only answer I can give you is because our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways ain't his ways. You got to understand, God knows what he's doing. Okay, let me go on. I got to move on, because understand, in John chapter 9, the Bible allows us to know that Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me, and I'm still not on my notes yet, so let me just stay off of them today. You got to understand this one thing. Fear doesn't stop death. It stops life. Listen to what I just said. Fear does not stop death. It stops life. When you're operating in fear, what you're doing is you're operating from a perspective in which God didn't design you to operate in. That's why you got to operate in faith, because faith says the opposite of what fear says. Okay, notice this is a season of choice. Look at somebody, declare it and say, this is a season of choice. If you're online, just type that in. This is a season of choice. This is my season of choice. This is my season of choice. I choose whether I am believing what the word says or what the accuser Satan says. I get a choice. In other words, when Satan speaks, I've got to learn how to silence what he says. Somebody said, that's easier said than done. No, it's said and then it's easy. You see, once you say it, you got to believe it. In other words, when the enemy tries to tell me to do something contrary to the word of God, I've got to silence what the enemy says. Okay, you see, my accuser only has part of the information. God has all of the information. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. If you're online, just type that in and shout, I know that's right. You see, my accuser, Satan, only has part of the information. God has all of the information. Will you stop thinking that Satan has all the information and God has part of the information? Because you made the accuser, you made him in effect God of your life. And I need to let somebody know the devil is a liar. He only has part of the information. God has all of my information. See, enemy wants you to believe you're in a way that you are not. But you can never believe what the enemy says. Even when there's proof and evidence that you are, because you've got to know God is able. Okay. Let me close it up this way. Let me give you some word and we're going to close it up. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and that's where I'm going to close. Ephesians chapter 3, I want to read some scripture and then we're going to go home. Ephesians 3, you've got to know this. You got to trust that you cannot believe what the enemy shows you, even when he gives you proof and evidence. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, and before I read the scripture, I want you to know, remember in Matthew 4, remember what Satan says to Jesus. He says, after Jesus had fasted, verse 1, 40 days, 40 nights, after the Bible says he was hungry, remember the first thing he shows him, he says, if you will just turn these stones into bread, he says, you could do it. The Bible says, towards the end, the third time, he says, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, and Jesus, if you just bow down, if you believe what I'm saying and showing you, I'll give them to you. I'm trying to tell somebody, that's why you can't believe what your eyes are seeing. Don't believe what your eyes are seeing. I wish I had a witness here. Don't you believe what your eyes are seeing. Okay, watch what happens. Jesus has to say to him, Satan, get behind me. You do know that I'm part of the Trinity and I'm part of an ecclesiastical power that already owns the whole world, and what you're trying to give to me, I already have. Let me be clear. Anything the enemy shows you, you already have the ability to get. I want to go here just for a minute. One of the singers that's real popular, and I don't want to get too deep today because I didn't come with the actual pictures. But one of the symbols of one of the power couples, and some of y'all like her. She's got this MB. Y'all, I'm just gonna say that B's. You know, y'all okay. Y'all know who I'm talking about. And so B, you know, and so she got this emblem in which she throws up these horns whenever, and her signature on all of her stuff, if you go back and look, it are these horns, and horns are representative of the devil. It's so subtle until when the enemy slides into stuff, we don't even realize it. But because we so caught up on church girls until we miss what the devil is doing. Okay, notice her husband always throws up signs of the devil in his 666. Whenever he throws it up, as a six, but it's really because the way he throws it up, and I don't want to show it, but I'll do it a later time. He throws up 666, and we don't even realize it because we so caught up on his rap game. Him being a mogul and a billionaire, and what's so exciting about one billionaire? Two? Don't you look at me like that. I didn't give you enough. You know who I'm talking about. If you don't know, look at somebody and just say, who are we talking about? And so they can give you the answer. Amen. You got to understand. You got to be careful because the enemy knows how to be slick in what he does. Shows you the kingdoms of the world. Anything the enemy shows you, God already has. Okay, let me, I got off, I'm totally off script. Lasagna, Ephesians 3, you can put it up. Verse 13, let me close it out this way. He says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, what he literally says right there in verse 13, he says, I desire, don't get tired of what I've been going through. Because what I went through it not just for me. I went through it for you. You didn't understand why I stayed. I didn't understand why I didn't leave. But God knew to keep me right here. I wish I had a witness here. You see, a lot of times we don't understand what God is doing in what he's doing. But when God does it, we look back and we say, oh, now I see. Let me get back. Verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what Paul says. Paul says, notice, I'm bowing my knees. Make no mistakes about it. This is not about cars and cash and cribs. This ain't about fame and fortune. He says, this is about Jesus Christ. I need somebody to make sure your foundation is right. I need you to just kind of, I need you right where you are to just kind of step on the floor, because your foundation needs to be on Jesus Christ. And if it ain't on Jesus Christ, you on the wrong foundation. If you thinking about what you can get, if you thinking about stuff, you thinking about the wrong thing. Because if you trust God, God will give you all the desires of your heart. In other words, all of the stuff God will add to you, and you won't even have to worry about that, because the stuff will mean nothing when you truly got God. But this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure your foundation is built on the solid rock. He says in verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, y'all missed that. Y'all don't know when to shout. I'm trying to tell you, I've been at this church 23 years, first Sunday in April, and y'all still don't know when to shout. Let me tell you something. You got to understand, he says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He says, not just on earth. You got some family in heaven as well.
All right. Let me. Verse 16.
He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now notice the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Okay, I told you, every one of these verses are preaching to me, because I feel a little faint. I just feel, but somehow God allows me to get up. I'm talking to somebody that this morning you felt a little faint. You didn't feel like getting up. You said, I ain't got to go to church. But something within you straightened you up and straightened you out and allowed you to get up. You got to know. Notice what he says. You're strengthened with might by spirit in your inner man.
Notice
that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now we're not talking about, because many of us, when it amazes me. People said last week when I gave and this, that, and the third, I had people call and say, wasn't nobody in the office. They must didn't want my money and all that stuff. Yeah, we needed your money. We needed this. If you didn't pay it last week, pay it today. Amen. Look at somebody shout, pay it today. You got to do your hand like that. Pay it today, like that. Yeah, help me out. Pay it today. You got to do it that way. Bro Cash, you ain't help me out. Okay, so you go sit there and not help me out. You pay it today. So here, watch this. You notice. We got all off track last week talking about money. This week, talking about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And you're still sitting there looking upset. Some folk I've discovered ain't gonna be happy because they ain't happy.
Look at somebody, tell him he talking to you now.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted, grounded in love. Notice that Christ dwells in my heart by faith. This is the word of God, y'all. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Notice what I'm rooted and grounded in is not things. It's not stuff. It's not my job. He says, in love.
Okay, notice in verse 18, he says,
in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That you are able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Notice that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 19 is interesting to me because he says, and to know the love of Christ. How do I know the love of Christ if I'm not praying and reading his word and talking to him? You see, I've got to stay in Christ to understand, to be able to discern what the love of Christ really is. You know, many of us, we think the love of Christ is one thing, but the love of Christ is actually a whole nother thing. Many of us, we think the love of Christ is telling people a piece of our mind or making sure we get off of our chest. Sometimes the love of Christ says, it's some stuff I don't say anything about and let them have their time to come around in God. But it does not mean I don't keep on growing and going in the things of God, because it passed knowledge that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice he says that you're filled, crammed with the fullness of God. Okay, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding. Now, I know you's going to run and jump on that. You know that verse. Look at somebody, just hunch them. Say, you know that verse. You might not know the other ones, but you know that one. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that word go, worketh in us. Look at somebody and shout, I know that's right. Notice, Jesus says, I must work the works of him in John 9 and 4. I notice in Paul's account in Ephesians 3 verse 19, according to the power that works in us. In other words, it's Jesus that's working in us. And as he's working in us and on us, he's allowing those things that are exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think to be done. Unto him be glory in the church. No, notice where his glory is. It's not in my house. He says in the church. Now he's talking about the ecclesia. He's not talking about the building. He's talking about everywhere the church resides. In other words, the church is me when I leave. The church is you in the grocery store. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, that simply means you are a representative of Jesus Christ. Hey, when somebody messes you up and wants to, and you want to just tear into them, you got to learn, wait a minute now. I need glory in the church, which is the temple of God, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. I want to cuss them out. They got my order wrong. I'm dealing with a situation now with our internet company, and they won't give me the speed that I need in a timely fashion, and I'm hot. It's messing up our presentations online and all that stuff. You can't see people clearly and all that. I'm really hot, and I want to go off on them. I mean, I really want to tell them. I want to put a few adjectives and adverbs together and let them know how I really feel, but I got to remember, unto him be glory in the church. And guess what? I and you, we are the church. Okay, I'm done. You got to know that in this season, there are some things wrong you can't make right. I'm just going to leave it right there. It's some things in this season that are wrong that you just can't make right. You just got to allow it to be. And here is my close, because the Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Verse 1, that's my close. He saw a man. Let me see if I can close it this way. When you look at Jesus and God seeing us, the term is a term, and I wrote it down because I didn't want to mess it up. It's an interesting word. The word is simply El-Roi. El-Roi. That's the term of God seeing you. El-E-L-Roi. R-O-I. El-Roi. God who sees me. In other words, when you're feeling invisible and vulnerable, it is God who sees us. When you're feeling like no one cares about your situation, it is God who sees you. Let me give you a scripture, because some of y'all sitting there and I don't think you understand it. So let me close it up this way. It is God who sees me. How do I know God sees me? Remember, there was a young lady by the name of Hagar. She hooked up with a lady by the name of Sarah, and she was Sarah's handmaid. Everything Sarah needed. In Genesis 16, it was Hagar that provided. And Abraham was told by God in Genesis 12 he would be a father of many nations. Even though he was told he would be a father of many nations, up to Genesis 16, he wasn't a father of any nations. And here he is without any children. And the Bible says that Sarah, Abraham's wife, says to Hagar, "I want you to go in and sleep with my husband." And says to Abraham, "Abe, I want you to sleep with the handmaid. I'm old, I'm barren, I'm beyond the years of childbearing years. So Hagar is young. She's fruitful. Go in and produce with her. Maybe we can help God out in God blessing us." And the Bible says he goes in with Hagar, and Abraham and Hagar produce who they call Ishmael. And Ishmael is not the promised seed, even though he is a seed that God has promised. And notice what happens. The Bible says that Sarah got upset at Abraham, got jealous at the fact that Hagar was able to produce. And that's a whole nother sermon, because people will always get jealous of you when they are not producing and you are able to produce. So don't get mad when you able to produce and others are not producing, whether they don't or can't, because they always get upset. But that's a whole nother sermon. And notice what happens. Hagar decides that it's time for her to exit the scene. And as she leaves Abraham and Sarah's house, Abraham gives her a bottle of water and a loaf of bread and shoos her out. As she leaves out the house, God speaks to her in the midst of the desert. That night, as she's laying her head on a rock and Ishmael is playing around and they are looking up at the stars, God speaks to her and he says, "I want you to know that I have seen you. I want you to know that I am blessing you, and you don't have to worry about your seed. You don't have to worry about your son. You don't have to worry about what you're going through, because I am with you and I see you." That's all I want to tell somebody today, is that God sees you. Is there anybody here that knows that I can thank God that God sees me? Why don't you just grab somebody by the hand and let them know God sees me, and I'm thankful that God sees me, because God sees me. That means everything will be all right. Is there anybody here that knows that everything will be all right because God sees me? Why don't you just look at somebody and tell them, "God sees you. I know you think nobody sees you. I know you think nobody cares about you, but God is looking at you and he sees you." Is there anybody here that knows that the Lord sees you and he cares about you? Can you shout yeah? Shout yeah! Yeah, he sees me and he knows me, and God will come see about me. Anybody know that God will see about you?
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.